where we. Father God, I thank you for this morning and for the hope that is laid before us, Lord, the joy that we have in you. And it was quite evident this morning that there is joy and there is a hope in the resurrection for those, Lord, who put their trust in you. I just thank you for that. Lord, guide me this morning. Let my words be directed by your Spirit, and let this service be blessed in your holy name.
Amen.
Okay, I'm reading from, I must have grown a couple of inches this week. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So picking up what Dave left off last week, and I'm going to just maybe a minute review a wee bit of what Dave said. Keep me in track. Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35-58. Okay. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, for there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, and the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our series of talks that we've been looking at, just continuing on from where Dave introduced the whole resurrection last week, we are following the Apostles' Creed, and the part which we are on at the minute is, I believe in the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus was not raised. If Jesus was not raised, the apostles are liars and no one is saved, and Paul was suffering for nothing. This is pretty much what Dave was summing up last week. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, we are wasting our time. We may as well be eating, drinking, being merry, not worrying about what tomorrow brings, not worrying about anything else in this world, because we have no hope. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we are pitied most amongst men. We may as well live like the rest of the world. Paul would have been suffering for nothing, preaching for no reason. If we believe in the resurrection, it will impact the way we live our lives. But if there is no resurrection, then we live for today. So, if there is no resurrection, you may as well go out and party, live life as you want, do the things you want to do. Many in the early church who were following Jesus, some of them in amongst the early church, didn't quite grasp or fully understand the resurrection, and therefore weren't living their life as they were meant to. They were maybe lacking self-control that came from the belief and the faith in Jesus that they were meant to have. So the early church was having its difficulties, and Paul, in writing his letter to the Corinthians, was trying to help them understand what the resurrection was and what it meant for them and for us today. Paul said that he died daily, in and through the death of Jesus and in his resurrection. What we're saying in this is that we should be having daily deaths and resurrections. Your life should be continual death and resurrection. Death to sin, hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Both in self-denial and in many persecutions. Why bother to live like this? Putting to death sin in your life. Living the resurrection if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Paul wanted to be like Jesus. He wanted to live a life like Jesus. He wanted to know him in every part of his life. And so he was denying himself. He was putting to death the sin in his life, sharing in the suffering of Jesus, and then in the resurrection, living in the hope in the life of Jesus, sharing in the resurrection. So Paul knew what it meant to live and to die daily, to die and to resurrect daily. Paul knew that, he understood it, and this is how he wanted to live his life. So how are the dead raised? When we talk about the resurrection and the life, when we talk about the new bodies and what it's going to be like, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body are we going to get? What is it going to be? What's the difference? Well, Paul tries to describe this in Corinthians, talking about the resurrection, being raised from the dead. He uses the analogy of the seed. Talks about how the seed is planted and how it must die before it begins to grow. So he uses the analogy of the seed. So I'm going to try and talk. I know somebody here could probably do this a lot better than me when it comes to sowing seeds and talking about them. But the seed dies in the ground. And I understand from my limited knowledge of biology that it germinates and that it grows into a flower or a plant or something other. And last night I was out in our garden just thinking about this. I was taking photographs of Ruth's plants, and I realised some of them were David's that we'd bought and we've kept them. And each year the bulbs grow, the seeds or whatever it is, and we get the new flower. And I was totally amazed because the ones that have grown this year are the best we've ever had. I started thinking, this is seriously the plants that Dave gave us, because they've been worth their money, if they are. But the body that Paul is talking about, the seed he's talking about, he says it must die, it must perish. You have to put the seed into the ground, it dies. And then it begins to grow in the ground and develops slowly, slowly, sprouts, grows the roots, grows the stem and flowers. And this is an illustration of really how we are going to die and grow and become a new body in the resurrection. I'm going to try and put this a wee bit easier. So in the seed, every believer has already died in Christ and been raised in Christ and through our baptism. So we are Christ already. We put to death the old things, we put off the old man, the corruptible already, and we are walking in the Spirit and we're trying to live a Christ-led life. But every believer, no matter what about that, we have to still die. We have to still go into the grave. Although we're already Christ, we've died in Christ, and then we're going to be raised in Christ into eternal life. That is our hope. So the perishable becomes imperishable. So what perishes away? What's dying now will become imperishable. We're sown in dishonor, we'll be raised in honor. We're sown in weakness, we'll be raised in power. We're sown natural, and we will be raised spiritual. The seed that is sown perishes, just like we will, but in the end, whenever we're in the ground, whenever Jesus returns, whenever the resurrection comes, we will be raised again in a new body. Not the body we're in, be like the body we have, but it will be a new resurrected body. The perishable body dies, and we will be given a new body that is imperishable. Now I'm going to try and give you an example. Now you're going to think I'm even stranger than I currently am. And I'm going to take you to new depths of how I act. Be ready for this. This is true. And I have testimony. You're going to see a photograph of this. I have a pet called Muffy. Muffy lived in the toilet that me and John share in our office. And I looked after and watched Muffy for many, many weeks. 3 months. But Muffy one day died. So I picked Muffy up. That's a photograph of him. That is actually a photograph of Muffy on my desk. Dead Muffy. And what I did with Muffy is I put him on a piece of paper. I was photographing Muffy. I looked after him. Now, the reason I did this is because the other guy in the office that works with me is not a Christian. So I used to keep going about the resurrection, and there's a resurrection, the final day. And I said, I'm going to raise Muffy back to life. It was a wee joke to begin with. But then one day, my accountant came in. This is leading to something, by the way. So one day, my accountant came in, and Muffy's on his wee piece of paper, here lies Muffy, sitting on it. And my accountant came in, and he's sitting beside me, and he's asking me things about things, and I'm looking up on the computer for him. And I turn around, and he put his finger and cracked Muffy. And I said, what are you doing to Muffy? That's Muffy. Muffy. This is not a true Muffy, but I said, you have just destroyed my hope that Muffy is going to be resurrected. But then I realised, actually, well, I understand Muffy will be resurrected for the record. But the same is for us. Even though our body, like Muffy's, is dead, we go into the grave, we become dust we are, dust we become, we will one day be resurrected back to a new body. And I was distraught. Even David was distraught that Muffy had been destroyed. But now I'm going to try and convert that back to us again. My body renewed, okay? So something like this is how we are at the minute, right? The earthly body. And what I'm trying, right? This is how you might see yourself at the minute. The hope is that my body at the minute is full of sin, it's full of corruption. We've all got sicknesses, there's people in here with different diseases like diabetes, heart problems, eye problems, all sorts of different issues. We have a body that is decaying, that's a sin-filled body. But our hope is that one day, in the resurrection, we will have the new body, the perfect body, the body that is incorruptible, body that is immortal, the spiritual, renewed, perfect body. And this is maybe how I think that I'm going to stroll around heaven. We're just trying to put into some kind of image, just, you know, and I know this is just mere man's image because I have no idea what new body is going to be like. But, and all that, we're talking about the new body that is coming, about how we're going to be resurrected. And Paul also talks about, and he compares again, Paul compares the first Adam to the last Adam. Paul talks about Adam and Jesus. He talks about how we are and how we're going to be. So every man is flesh and blood on the earth at the minute. Flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. Earthly man, the first man born was Adam. We're of Adam and we're natural. And then Jesus, every man who believes in Jesus becomes a believer. We believe in the man who came from heaven, who was Jesus, the Son of God. He was the last or the second Adam, and he is the spiritual man. Paul uses this to try and contrast for us the difference between the first Adam and the last Adam. That we have all the likeness at the moment of the first Adam. That we are earthly people. That we came from dust. That we have the same likeness of the earthly man. But for those who trust in Jesus, for those who believe in him, we will have the likeness of the heavenly man who is Jesus. Because we have to be transformed and changed. We have to have the Spirit of God. We have to believe in Jesus so that the transformation will take place once we die. And then we're resurrected in a new body so that we can enter into heaven as a spiritual being. Flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. This body can never enter into heaven. And then Paul goes further and tells us about a mystery. Something that we cannot grasp. Something that only God can reveal to us. And it's this verse that many ponder on and many think about. We are changed at the resurrection. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the flash or twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and mortality with immortality. In a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. That we will be changed into the body that we need whenever we enter into heaven. So the main points from that are these. Raised incorruptible, changed to have new heavenly bodies, putting on immortality, and we put on incorruptible. We will not be able to perish ever again. We will never, we won't have any sin. We won't have any sickness. We won't have any health problems. We will have new resurrected bodies. And the resurrection is not a new idea. Death stung Adam and his descendants through sin. Sin exerts power over Adam and his descendants through the law as a covenant of works. And what that means, going back to the Garden of Eden, whenever sin entered into the garden and Adam committed the first sin, through that sin, man ever since has been struggling with it, striving to conquer it, striving to please God through what's called a covenant of works, which is you're trying to do something to please God in a tit-for-tat bargain. You're trying to say, God, I'll do this if you'll do this for me, and that's an example of the covenant of works. Trying to please God when we cannot please Him in this manner. Those who do this are struggling to live a way that can never please God, or can never, by the covenant of works, we will never be able to enter into heaven. It's a bargain to try and escape death, and it will never work. We, as believers, live in the covenant of grace in and through Jesus. It is the free gift of Jesus, the free gift of life that He has given us through His covenant of grace. That is the difference. We don't live to try and do things to achieve God's merit or try and please God by the way we're living. We are living in the covenant of grace because we choose to believe in Jesus, that He would give us the free gift of life. And that free gift of life comes because of what He has done for us. If you're living in the covenant of works, you're constantly trying to push. If you imagine a massive stone up a massive hill, you will never achieve the outcome of trying to please God by living your life this way. So because of what Jesus has done for us, we have a victory in Him. We have victory over death and over sin. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? I think I heard it this morning in prayer, talking about how all our sins have been forgiven. So far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions. Jesus died upon the death on the cross, conquered death and sin. Give us the opportunity to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to come to Him. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And because of all that He has done for us on the cross, we now have victory over death and sin. Death and sin is nothing for us to fear. I don't go to bed anymore at night worrying about dying, worrying about my death, because I know that the resurrection is waiting for me. I know I'll have a new body. I know I'll enter into heaven in that. I know that when I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord when I die. I know these truths, and those are the things that I look to and know. Paul died daily to self. How we believe in the resurrection will impact how we live each day. If you don't believe what we're saying today and what Dave said last week, if you don't realize or really believe in the resurrection, then it's not going to change how you live today. We should be having daily deaths and resurrections, overcoming the sin in our lives by self-denial and giving ourselves fully to God's will. Paul said that he died daily. The death and resurrection I looked at the start. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that we overcome death and sin. And therefore the sins in our lives, we should be trying to overcome them, putting them to death every day. The sins that we face every day, we have to put them to death, suffer in them, and then look to God and know that we have the resurrection in our life, looking to God for through Jesus for helping us to continue in our life to overcome the things that we have to struggle against. Everybody in here has a struggle. Everybody has something to deal with. If you don't, then you're not living, dying and living in the resurrection every day. So we're putting to death the desires of the flesh and living to serve God, not our fleshly lusts. This is important. You're putting to death the things of the flesh, and through that, putting to death that, we're living in the hope of the resurrection. Overcoming the sin in our lives by self-denial and giving ourselves fully to God's will. This is important. This is the thrust of what we should be trying to do every day of our lives. So consider it, and this is unbelievable. You've got to consider it pure joy. Brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, doesn't that seem like a real irony? That we're coming across the trials and the difficulties and the struggle to overcome our sin. And Paul said, look, consider it joy when you're facing these things, when you're coming up against them. Look at it as being joyful. These struggles are momentary and will one day pass. Keep the faith in the struggles, always looking to Jesus. When you're struggling, you're looking to Jesus in everything. If you're struggling with your health, if you're struggling with sickness, if you're struggling with guilt or with shame, if you're struggling with debt and everything, you're looking to Jesus in those struggles. And you're trying to find the joy in that. The joy in it is actually what we're facing up ahead. That we will one day be crowned with a crown of glory. That we will have joy for eternity. Our labour is not in vain. Pleasing Jesus is a small... Living our life at whatever cost to please Jesus is a small price to pay for the glory that lies up ahead for us. We've got to keep on looking to Jesus in every trial, every situation, so that we're looking to our future glory. So we have hope in the resurrection. A hope that surpasses everything else that you can imagine in this life. And I want to put up two verses that should help us somehow grasp everything that I've been trying to put across. The first one is this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things has passed away. Can you imagine that? What that verse is saying, that one day, God will wipe away every tear that you have cried, every pain that you have suffered, every difficulty that you have had to overcome, every illness, every sickness, everything in your life will one day be changed, will be wiped away. That's what God says. We're not talking about the physical tear here. We're talking about everything just being wiped away, forgotten, into the sea of forgetfulness, if you want. You will never again cry in the same way you've cried in this life. And then he says, and this is what the psalmist says, he who continually goes forth weeping, thinking back to the seed, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. But the psalmist is saying here, and that everything that we have suffered, every seed of death that we have planted, will one day bring forth joy. We will live and rejoice. And this is something in the resurrection that we don't really look at. It is a joyful thing. It is something that we're going to look forward to. It is happiness personified. It is something that we are saying, yes, one day we will have no more worries, no more pain, no more tears, no more hurt, no more of any of that experience of this life. But we will go forth weeping, not because we're sad, not because we're down and depressed, weeping because we're happy, because we're joyful, because we've something worth living for. Our sin-cursed bodies will decay and rot along with all the pain and suffering. All will be gone. And we will receive incorruptible, beautiful, heavenly bodies for all eternity. So this morning, you may be facing the difficulties and the trials that this life has to throw at you, the heartaches that we've looked at and I've already talked about. But because of the hope of the resurrection, be sure that God will bring everything to pass that he has said in the two verses that I've quoted. That all your pain and suffering will one day pass. That he has promised you a new body. And he has promised you a hope in the resurrection. and that he would wipe away every tear that you have suffered. Now I'm looking to the resurrection, I'm looking to the future, but the fact of the matter is that God will still do that to this day. He will still come into your life and wipe away tears and bring happiness where there's sadness and replace your suffering with joy. And there is moments in our lives when that happens. But the great hope is that we live for the resurrected body, the final day when our bodies are resurrected, when we go to be in the presence of the Lord forever. And you will never, ever again experience sadness or pain or anything else that this life has to offer. But we will have the hope that is promised. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the hope, and it gives me great joy just to stand here and know, Lord, I am living my life for you, that we are living our lives collectively in this church for you and for your glory. And we all know that one day we will stand in heaven with you in new bodies, giving you all the glory and living a joyful life for eternity. It's hard to imagine. It's hard, Lord, for me to stand and put into words what joy will befall us. But Lord, we know that it's coming. We know that we're holding on to that, and our focus is on you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this. And ask, Lord, to strengthen us this week. Help us, Lord, to keep this at the forefront of our minds and to really, in our suffering, realize, Lord, that in every death that we're, every sin that we're putting to death and every suffering that we're enduring, that we also have the resurrection, the hope, and the joy in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.